After the nation of Israel had spent close to 40 years wandering in the wilderness, the book of Joshua opens with Israel on the east side of the Jordan River, looking into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. You will recall, I believe, when Jacob and his family left the land of Canaan, they left because of famine and there was food in Egypt, and God had prepared Egypt for them through Joseph. They went down and we are told they numbered 70. That was about 400 years earlier. Now they have grown to an organized nation of several million. And they are standing at the threshold of entering the land that God had promised to give Abraham nearly 500 years earlier. At long last, the time had come for God to fulfill His promises to Abraham and his descendants to lay a hold of the promised land of Canaan. And yet, as we begin reading Joshua, it begins with a somewhat negative note, doesn't it? The very first words are of death. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the great leader of Israel, Moses, is dead. If you will, in your Bibles, if you're in Joshua 1, just look back one chapter to Deuteronomy chapter 34, and notice verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that is God, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Moses, the reluctant leader of Israel, the leader, or soon to be leader, that God sent to Egypt to deliver them from slavery, the leader that God used to give them the law, the leader that God had over them for 40 years, is dead. Again in verse 2, God is speaking to Joshua. And he starts out by saying, "My Moses, my servant, is dead." Moses has died on Mount Nebo, looking over the land of promise but not being able to enter it. And he's secretly buried by God. Israel has mourned for 30 days. And now Israel is without him, facing the challenge of Canaan. They're ready to enter that land of promise. Yet God has not forsaken his people. He never does. He's prepared another man to lead them, a man who had been faithful as an assistant to Moses for years. That man was Joshua. And God says to him, "Arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving you and the children of Israel." God is going to do through Joshua what Moses, the great leader of Israel, was unable to do 38 years earlier. You'll recall Israel was encamped south of Canaan at a place called Kadesh Barnea. They sent 12 men, one from each tribe, to look over the land and to spy it out. And they returned with reports of the abundance of food, and they even brought back, we're told, a cluster of grapes that was so big and heavy that two men had to carry it on a pole between them. But these spies reported that there were great walled cities. There were giants in the land that made them look like grasshoppers. And 10 of the spies gave a negative report, Caleb and Joshua being the exception. And Israel heeded their counsel and rebelled against God, rebelled against Moses, and refused to go into the land of promise. And now that exact same challenge lies before them. A new generation and a new leader. Moses has died, but God is going to keep His covenant promises to them and to Abraham. And God tells Joshua that he is to arise and be the agent that God uses to accomplish His covenant promises. Again, Israel faces a huge task. But now, they don't have their great leader that they have come to trust, Moses. Moses was not only the leader for 40 years. He was the only leader that the Israelites had known. And they were dependent upon him. Even though they were constantly rebelling against him, you know, they rebelled against authority. They rebelled against God's commandments. Now, God in His infinite wisdom has removed Moses just before they are to embark upon this tremendous task of conquering Canaan. Moses, that faithful leader of God's people, is gone. But God is going to continue to do His work. And He's going to continue to do it without him. You see, no one is indispensable in the work of the Lord. God uses us and blesses us in being used. But God is not dependent upon us to accomplish that which He would accomplish. He's going to continue His work with a new leader. And He is going to give Joshua the strength and the wisdom to do the task He has given him. Just as He gave Moses the gifts that made him a great prophet and great leader of Israel. So the Lord tells Joshua he has to step into the shoes of Moses. And you can imagine Joshua's anxiety. For he knows he's not Moses. He knows he's not gifted as Moses was. And as an aide to Moses, the text calls him a servant. He'd seen the rebellious spirit of Israel. He'd seen the burden and the heartache of leadership. And he knew it would be no easy task. Oh, there's one more thing. Not only is this a great people, a huge congregation that he must lead, God gives him a task that is immense. Notice verse 4. There is a large area that we are dealing with that Joshua is to lead Israel to possess. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, to the north, not to the east. All the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. I'd like to make a brief aside here on the issue of the land. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but it's one of those things that troubles some people. God is a creator of the heavens and the earth. The psalmist reminds us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is God's. The land of Canaan is God's to give to whomever He wills. It's a land that He had promised to Abraham years before. But there's something else of interest here, and that is that the Canaanites who dwelt there, who had also moved there from elsewhere, were a sinful, wicked people. And they were finally ready to be judged. And it's interesting, God in His grace gave them time to repent. But they did not do so. Listen to what God told Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. In the fourth generation, they, that is the descendants of Abraham, shall return here and possess the land, as God is promising to Abraham. Right now, He says, the iniquity of the Amorites who dwell in Canaan is not yet complete. But now, as Israel stands on the east side of the Jordan River, the Canaanites are ready for judgment. And God is going to take the land away from them and is going to give it to Israel. And leading Israel and possessing this land is the task that God gives to Joshua. Now, in the face of this overwhelming responsibility, the Lord gives Joshua a personal challenge. And that we read, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. So Joshua, in spite of the loss of Moses, in spite of the immensity of the task of the land to be possessed, in spite of the walled cities and the giants and the challenge that is before you, be strong and be courageous. That word strong comes from the strength of the hand, so it's the idea of holding fast. And courage is a word that simply refers to boldness, determination to a given purpose. God is telling Joshua, no matter what the task, what the challenge is, he must hold fast and be bold, be strong, be courageous for the Lord, for the work that God is giving him to do. There are giants in the land. God isn't saying that there aren't. There are great walled cities like Jericho, which is the immediate next issue. But the enemy is indeed powerful. The opposition is not to be underestimated. But Joshua, I am bigger and greater and mightier than all of these. So be bold, aggressive, for victory and possession of the land will come to you. It will come through battle. It will come through trials. But it will come to you. Like Israel, many Christians do not want to enter the battle. Many view Christianity as a way to heaven, a way to have sins forgiven, a way of receiving blessing in this world, not understanding that Christians are a part of a pitched battle between the forces of Satan and of God. Followers of Christ have always faced the forces of Satan and his seed. Moses did. Think of the prophets. The prophets of God who spoke the very word of God were pilloried by the people of God. Think of Daniel. For doing what was right, cast into the den of lions. Or John the evangelist, beheaded by Herod for speaking truth. And the apostles the persecution of the early church. You see, the seed of the serpent has always opposed the seed of the woman. That's why Paul echoes God's word to Joshua in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Christian, like Joshua, you need to be strong. You need to be courageous in following Jesus Christ. You need to stand with Him against His enemies and hold firmly to the truth of His word, of the gospel. You need to obey your King and oppose the wickedness and the lies of the evil one. Well, how is Joshua to do this? How is Joshua to be the leader of this difficult people and deal with this tremendous challenge and the vastness of the land to be taken? The key to success, God says, is to be strong in the Word. Only be strong and very courageous, God tells him, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. God says, Joshua, stand firm and hold fast to the word of God. And at this point, there are just the five books of Moses. And they've just been completed. The ink is hardly dry. Yet God asserts their authority and their power and the need to listen to them, to meditate on them, and to obey them. In all of the obstacles, all of the opposition, the difficult circumstances ahead, the strength to faithfully serve the Lord is to be found in His Word. Joshua is to know the Scriptures. To lead in the battle requires a knowledge of God's Word, His commandments. God's written Word is given to him that he might know God's mind, know God's will, and then do it. At this point, Joshua only had five books. And at that, they're books of law, if you will. Books of commandments, over 600 commandments. God has continued to reveal His will for us down through the centuries. So, Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, saying, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is therefore profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And we still need to study and know God's Word, which is truth. Then Joshua was to talk about God's Word. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." God's word, he commands, were to be a part of Joshua's speech. That's what Paul tells us as well, Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And Joshua was to meditate on God's word. God tells him, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night." This is something that the psalmist prayed for. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth, the psalmist prays to the Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Christian, again and again, the scriptures emphasize the importance of knowing God's word and of meditating upon the word of God. Psalm 1:2, the righteous man, the righteous woman, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Christian meditation is not like Eastern meditation. It's not trying to empty your mind and to dwell on nothing, to get rid of the world and all the things of the world. Christian meditation is a thinking on, a meditating on, chewing on the very Word of God, which is truth. So Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts. Paul writes Timothy again, 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Christian, God's word needs to fill our speech, our thoughts, because it is through God's word that we grow spiritually. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's how we grow in obedience to the Lord. We need to know his commandments if we are to do them and keep them. So that's what God tells Joshua. He says that knowing his word is the way that you can, verse 8, observe to do according to all that is written in them. You want to fulfill God's call to you to serve Him and to obey Him faithfully. There's no shortcut. It is through letting God's Word soak into your very being. Like Joshua, you will not win the battles with temptation, with sin, with the evil of the world. You will not be victorious over Satan apart from God's Word. To be strong and courageous for the Lord, you must let the Word of God dwell in you richly, as the Apostle Paul put it. Joshua was also to be strong and courageous in leadership. It says, have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The strength of the enemy, the power of evil, can bring discouragement, can bring fear. It can bring defeat as well, just as it did at Kadesh Barnea. Joshua faced not only a strong enemy, but a people prone to discouragement, disobedience, despair. To lead Israel in these circumstances, Joshua needed to be strong and to have courage. Verse 6, God says you can be strong and courageous because victory is certain. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land. I am giving it to you. God will bring Israel to triumph. The land will be yours. You will divide it among the 12 tribes. The obstacles are great. The challenge is tremendous. But Joshua, I will give you and Israel victory. Isn't that reason for him to be confident and bold? Joshua had the assurance from God himself, the Almighty, omnipotent God of Israel, that they would be victorious and that they would conquer the land. Christian, you serve the same omnipotent God. You may lose some battles. You will have setbacks. You will fall into sin. You will have some defeats. It is a fallen world and we have a fallen sin nature. But eventually, you will be victorious in Christ. Listen to Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. The Apostle Paul, who endured so much, could write those words. The finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross assures us of victory in His work. Not because we're great, not because we're powerful, not because we're so wise, not because we're indispensable, but because we serve a great God. As an individual, if you are in Christ, nothing can separate you from His love. Nothing can separate you from the God who loved you and gave Himself for you. And you will ultimately possess the promised land like Israel. Not a physical inheritance, but a heavenly one. God guarantees it. And He promises it. Christ is, in this life, building His church. The gates of hell, Christ said, cannot stand against it. So Paul concluded, in the face of persecution and beatings and jailings and shipwrecks, apparent defeats, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christian, you need to live and to think like a victor. Live with holy boldness and confidence in your King. Not in your abilities, not in your weaknesses, not in your strengths, but in your King. You will inherit the promised land. Joshua is to be strong and of good courage because the Lord is with him. Verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. By the way, you notice God says the same phrase over and over again. Be strong, be courageous, because I am with you. Verse 9. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In victory or defeat. And by the way, Israel is going to have some defeats as we enter into the book of Joshua. They have some defeats and some setbacks. They'll sin. They'll make wrong choices. They'll act unwisely. And they pay a price. Just like us. But in all of this, Joshua can be confident that God is with him just as He was with Moses. I think the message to Joshua is you do not face all these challenges alone. And neither do we. Whatever challenges there are in your life, whatever difficulties and hardships and things that you're dealing with, you are not alone. What did Christ promise to His disciples? I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can have that same confidence of God's presence and His power with you when things are hard and the going is rough. When things seem upside down and confused, be strong, be courageous, Christian. Because your covenant God is with you. And with Christ, even defeats become victories. Think of the victory that Christ accomplished over Satan at the cross. The cross seemed like a defeat. The promised Messiah, the Deliverer, is crucified and dead upon a cross at the hands of the Romans. But instead, the cross brought victory. Satan is defeated. The head of the serpent is crushed. And Christ rises victorious and triumphant. Just before Christ ascended into heaven, he gave what is called the Great Commission. Our marching orders as his followers: make disciples of all nations. How and why can we do that? It says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." As you live your life, as you serve the Lord, as you confront the enemies of the gospel, as you engage in spiritual battles that are necessary in this fallen world, you can be certain that your shepherd, your king, is with you. And so, like Joshua, you must be strong, you must be courageous for the Lord your God. Mere faith, mere belief in Christ, in God's word, that it's true, is not enough. You must be doers of the word. James says, as we studied a few months back, you must be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's not enough to know the truth, you need to do it. You need to obey. There must be action because the enemy must be opposed. God gave Israel the land, but they had to fight for it. They had to go in and possess the land. They had to deal with enemies of God. And in the spiritual realm, victory is yours. Christ assures it. But if you would win, you must be faithful in the battle. So hold fast to the word of God. Boldly serve your King, your Savior. Enter into the battle with courage. Live as a follower of Jesus Christ with confidence in your Lord, the omnipotent God, the one who loves you, cares for you, and even laid down his life for you. Shall we pray? Almighty God, as we hear your word, we are reminded of the weakness of our faith. Oh Lord, give us greater faith to trust you, to be bold and courageous in serving you, in living for you in a fallen and sinful world. May we be those Christians whose light shines brightly in a world of darkness. Use us, we pray, in the building of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's his name we ask it. Amen.